Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu.
We may be seated in God's presence. Worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Yeah. Glory to your name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there are mysteries here. There are mysteries here. A mystery is here. A mystery is here. I keep seeing the word visitation. 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 For you are in an hour of visitation, even as assembly. You are in an hour of visitation. And we are coming. We are coming more frequently, even in this season. Because it's an hour of visitation appointed over you as an assembly. An hour of visitation. An hour of visitation. An hour of visitation. You are in an hour of visitation. Discern the times where you are in an hour of visitation as an assembly. As an assembly, you are in an hour of visitation. An hour of visitation. An hour of visitation. Jesus is here. 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 Oh, Jesus is here. 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 Of the church is here. The head of the church is here. The head of the church is here. And he's come to check. He's come to check. The Father sent him to check. Father sent him to check. He's come to check. He's come to check because the Father wants to come. The Father wants to come. It's an appointed time of visitation. Even visitations of high emissaries, even for you as an assembly. And he will come more frequently. He will keep coming and checking, coming to check, because that the Father wants to come. My Father wants to come. My Father wants to come.
We reverence you, Jesus.
with a heart of reverence. With a heart of reverence. Oh, Jesus. 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 We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Giver of life. Giver of everlasting life. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your presence. 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 Thank you for the throne. Thank you for the throne. Thank you for access to the throne. Thank you for access, granted access, not merited access, granted access. You granted us access. We didn't merit it, but you granted it. We do not merit it, but you granted it. Thank you for access. Thank you for audience before the throne. Thank you for audience. Jesus. 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 With much reverence. With much reverence in our hearts before you, our Lord and our God. The Son of God. The Son of Righteousness. The one who has healing, even salvation in his wings. We worship you, Jesus. I honor you, Jesus, Lord Jesus. Blessed Lord Jesus. Gracious Jesus. We honor you. We lift you up. We lift you up. We lift you up. In our hearts, we raise you high. We raise you high. We esteem you high. Higher than the heavens. We raise you high in our hearts so that we might see God. We raise you high. Oh, be exalted. Be exalted. Be exalted. Be exalted. Oh, let that which is your will, that which you intend to do, even in this meeting, let it be accomplished. I'll align under your spirit, under you, Lord. I come under your lordship, under your lordship. I align completely, and I'm asking for mercy. Mercy that I will not come out of alignment, either in words or in demonstration. Yea, that I will not come out of alignment. I align in my thoughts. I align in my heart. Even I align in my emotions. Everything that is within me, I align. I bring under the control of your spirit. Help us. Help us. Help every heart to align also, that we might be blessed today. Oh, thank you. Have your way. Just have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Quickly, our Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, where we began looking at the other time. Appreciate God for his presence. I have the liberty to say a few things by God's grace today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. My name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, and I am standing in the midst, even in your midst as a Father. My name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, and I am standing in the midst, even as a Father. My name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, and I am standing in your midst, even as a Father. My name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, and I am standing in your midst as a Father. My name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, standing in your midst as a Father. My name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, and I am standing in your midst as a Father. My name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, and I am standing in your midst even as a Father. My name is Jesus, the Son of the Living God, and I am standing in your midst even as a Father. I'm standing in your midst even as a Father. I'm standing in your midst even as a Father, even as a Father, even as a Father, even to say things of the Father, even to show things of the Father, even to bring a foretaste even of my Father, a foretaste in thoughts, a foretaste in words, a foretaste in demonstrations and experiences. For I am bringing even a foretaste upon you as a local assembly, a foretaste upon you. For I'll come before I'll come with my Father, before I'll come with my Father. I am Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, and I'm in your midst even as a Father. Father, a Father, everlasting Father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, quickly, 1 Peter chapter 4. That might not be where we would dwell, but just to begin from where we began. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is with us. The end of all things is with us. I don't need to go back to it again to begin to emphasize it. The end of all things, talking about the end of God's plan, God's purpose, God's program, as He has before the foundation of the world planned it. You know, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The Lamb wasn't just slain some over 2,000 years ago. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So it means that everything that is going on is in accordance with eternal plan and eternal purpose. So everything is aligning. Now, one of the things that amazes me all the time is when I look at concepts of eschatology that I see with ministers, and then I get amazed the fact that we have different schools of thought with regards to eschatology. That's not what I'm teaching today, but I'm just trying to make you see something here. I get amazed at the different school of thoughts that we have concerning eschatology. Eschatology simply means study of the end, or things of the end, study of things of the end, eschatology. Amen. Praise God. I get amazed at the level of, you know, divisions we have with regards to it, as though we are the ones that will decide what will happen. As though our school of thought will determine what will happen, or as though if this school of thought wins, then they will become the new Jerusalem. You know, I just get amazed at the fact that maybe there's something to gain from it. Maybe, you know, that thing of, man, I told you so, I told you so. Shebi, I told you. Say, you didn't believe me when I was telling you, but you see it now, it just happened exactly. And by the time I look at the scriptures and I study, the more I study, the more I look at the scriptures, I discover that majority of the church is clueless concerning these things of the end. And then God, even our Lord Jesus Christ, is going to surprise us. We will be so surprised. I'm too sure that by the time he finishes, all our theological schools, all our eschatology and all our belief will be so upended that we will go back to the Bible again and begin to look at it, and not, as we are, presume that the things that we have said, so shall it be. Amen. Because the scripture is of no private interpretation. The scripture says, it's of no private interpretation, but men, holy men, speak as they were moved by the Spirit. It also means that it's going to be interpreted also by the same way. Holy men will also be moved by the Spirit for the interpretation of these things. In other words, there are things that we can't just know. No matter how we dig into it, we will not be able to know it, especially when it comes to times and seasons which are in the hand of God. But there is something we ought to know. Him who is to come. Amen. I write to you, fathers, for you have known him who is from the beginning. Meaning there's something we ought to know. The Son of God, we know that the Son of God, we know that the Son of God, so we are supposed to know. So there's something we should know. We know that the Son of God is come and has given us understanding that we might know him who is true. So we are supposed to know. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. So in eschatology, in things of the end, is not basically issue of times and seasons as it's going to come upon the earth, but rather it is the bringing in of things which the church ought to know, which when we know them, then we can say, yea, the end is upon us. And until we begin, those things are open to us, we'll just discover that we will keep, you know, going round and round. And you know, I remember one of the Believers Convention, Reverend Busi, said something that really, I took notice of it. I'm a very, very keen person. There are things you say, I'll take a mental note of it and then look at it again and meditate on it. He said, do you know that this earth as it is can go like this for the next 500 years? How many of us know that? Forget about what is happening in Ukraine. Forget about all of that. They can't do anything. They can't do anything. If it is not permitted, they can't do anything. Oh, you think if they blow, they will blow it with a, they will blow the earth with atomic bomb. Forget this earth. Do you know what God did here? Is atomic bomb everlasting? Is it everlasting? Do you know that this thing has everlastingness of it? Do you know things that has happened on earth? Forget about, you are seeing volcano. They are just, those things are just reorganizing themselves to last longer. When you see volcano, they are trying to, you know, recalibrate. Because now the only thing that will make the earth has to serve its purpose. The earth has to serve its purpose. And its purpose is the precious fruit of the earth. The precious fruit of the earth. If the precious fruit of the earth is not seen, this earth, 500 years, 1,000 years, it will be like this, Jesus won't come. He's not, he can end and start all over again. He did it in the days of Noah. He can end and start again. He can start another generation. You need to just know that about God. So that you, when we are talking about the end, I don't want you to just see, you know, what is going on. I want you to focus on, there is that which we should know. The end of all things, God. The end of all things, God. The end of all things, God, is at hand. Now, if it is about the end of the world as it is, they wouldn't be telling us of fervent charity. Abi? Let's look at it logically. If it is about there's going to be a global disaster that will end the world, or there's going to be that whatever, and then they should be telling us to dig bunkers and begin to plan, you know, like they are doing in US right now. A lot of people are stocking, building bunkers, building doomsday bunker. It's all over the place. They are planning heavily on it. And I look at them and I'm laughing. I said, even Bob Marley knows better. You know what he said? I have no fear for atomic energy, for none of them can end the time. We have to fulfill the book. That guy, I don't know. Prophecy has to be fulfilled. Now, some ministers, I'm sorry, I'm not yabbing pastors, but some of us ministers, we are so dumb that we even, God will have to use men like that to talk to us. Amen. Amen. So I'm saying the end of all things, God. The end of all things, God. So when we're talking about the end of all things, we are primarily talking about the end of all things, God is at hand. That is the reason why they will begin to give commandments of fervent charity. Like I said, it's not, if it is the end of the earth, they will not tell us fervent charity. Oh boy, you're on your own. Have you packed your bag? Have you have a stockpile of ammunition and a stockpile of food that will last you at least until after the, you know, the atomic rays have dissipated, you know? You need to at least, you should pack food that will last for you for 2 years. Then the church will be of no consequences. We'll just be wasting our time teaching you Christ. Don't you think we'll be wasting our time teaching you Christ? Wasting our time teaching you everlasting life? We'll be wasting our time. So if they are giving us commandment of charity, then the end of what they are calling the end is not the end as men see it. It's not the end as men see it. They're actually saying something that we need to pay attention to. Amen. Amen. So the commandment is, the next verse, and above all things, have fervent charity. Have fervent charity. That is how to prepare for the season that we are in. Amen. Can you say, the end is upon us? The end what? The end of all things, God. Now, me, I want to end there. I don't know about you, but I want to end in God. I want to end in God. And what will prepare us for that ending in God is charity. But charity that have been made hot. Charity that have been made hot. Hot charity. So, I'm going to be teaching on this charity thing for a while until it becomes hot here. Amen. I didn't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Until it becomes hot in this church. Because charity covereth multitude. Look at it. Have fervent charity amongst yourselves. Amongst yourselves. Among yourselves. Among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Amen. Let's begin to look at charity, you know. Amen. 1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Like I said, I'm going to be dwelling here for a while, so just bear with me. 1 John chapter 2. Let's begin reading from verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. Okay, are you seeing something here? The end, the beginning. So what did he call the beginning here? The beginning, is it when things we are created? Are you seeing a pistol? When he said, when you hear maybe in 1 John, that which was from the beginning. You're thinking of Genesis, right? You're thinking of Genesis. You're thinking of in the beginning God created heaven and earth. No, there is that which was from the beginning. There is that which had been. In fact, that thing is called the beginning. That's the essence of beginning, is that which had been from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. So here, I love this. He said, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which had been from the beginning. Meaning this commandment is from him who is the beginning. This commandment is coming from him who is the beginning. Amen. Now you hear him say, I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the beginning. I am the end. So when he said the end of all things is at hand, he said, I'm the one that is the end of all things. I am at hand. So it's not coincident that the Lord has been showing up in our meeting. In our meetings last Sunday, while we had so much, it was very, very palpable. There was no way you could doubt the presence of the Lord. Today he is here again. Why? He's here as the Father. That's the end. That's the end. That's both the beginning and the end. The Father is with him. He has both the beginning. When you hear Jesus said, I am the first and the last, he's not talking as Christ. I am the Alpha and Omega. Those words are words that are with the Father. It's a Father that speaks like that. Because those things are, they mean a lot. You know that. They mean a lot. They mean so much. It will take revelation to unveil them. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. I am Alpha and Omega. If you've listened to teaching, our daddy said they are not the same. He's not just trying to speak Greek in one place and speak English in another place. I'm Alpha Omega. You know, Alpha Omega is Greek word. And then it's I'm beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. Amen. 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 No, they are not the same. There's something he's trying to communicate. But I want you to understand when you talk about he who is from the beginning, the Father. The Father is from the beginning. He who is the end is at hand, is the Father. The Father begins and ends. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. So it's in the season of everlasting life that we will actually be able to know these designations properly. We'll have light to see what is beginning and what is ending. What is first and what is last. What is Alpha and what is Omega. Alpha is a fatherly title. Alpha is a progenitor. That's the one that gives being born again, not of corruptible but of incorruptible seed. Is the Father that carries the incorruptible seed. That incorruptible seed is the Alpha of God. That's the Alpha of God. That incorruptible seed is his Alpha. So if it tells you I'm the Alpha and the Omega, it's not telling you that because of your situation. Maybe you're going through something and then you just hear prophecy. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. So he knows my end from my beginning. No, that's not what he's saying. But he said, if I'm the Alpha, he's trying to pass across to you incorruptible seed. But will you understand it? Just like Abraham didn't understand what he said. I am your shield and exceeding great reward. Abraham said, what will you give to me, seed that I go childless? We all behave like that. I said, I'm Alpha and Omega. He knows my end from my beginning. And the church, we are comfortable to, you know, we feel comfortable to know that he knows our end from our beginning. You don't have end, you don't have beginning. Those things are substances. Until it's given to you, you don't have it. What you're calling my end and my beginning and my end, by the time you move to eternity, you just discover this thing is not real. Oh. These things are not real. But I was in a realm where it looks as if it was real. And it held so much weight. And it was so strong. And I thought if something is not done, I'm finished. And he said, look, just don't look at it. Look at the incorruptible seed. Oh, you don't understand what I mean. You remember the children of Israel? When the serpent was biting them, what did they do? What did Moses do? Did it look like anything that was going to work? I watched it in a movie where Moses was making that in a movie, and then I think Aaron that was beside him asking him, "Are you sure?" Or either Aaron or Joshua, "Are you sure this thing will work? How can you make this the same thing that is biting them? You're making it. Are you sure it's going to work?" It didn't look like anything that was going to work. But by the time you finished making it, you just needed to look upon it. You look upon it and you are saved. Amen. 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 Can you say my situation? Say it again, my situation. Say it, my condition. Say it. I want you to say it with conviction. Say it, my situation. My condition is deliberately designed to make me come to the end. There are things you won't know about the end if they don't heat up your condition. Amen. So let's go further. Someone here, I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. Those things are the substances of God. They are the things the Father has. They are things of the Father. You want to know the Father, they are. Those are words. When you see the Lord using those words. Amen. You know, there was something Pastor TJ said that I liked during the Sunday school. He said, the Jesus you see in Revelation 1, 2, 3, we don't know him. The Jesus we know is Jesus we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And even the Jesus we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, we don't know the Jesus of John. Oh. We don't know the Jesus of John. We know the Jesus of Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we know that Jesus 20%. One of the reasons why we know him 20% is that we knew him in the flesh. He had to take a man like Paul being raised to teach Jesus in the spirit, to raise our bar. You know, a lot of the church still knows him as Jesus of Matthew, Mark, Luke, not John. Check it. How many go to John to go and teach? Even if they teach, they only pick things, but to teach what he was teaching. You know that John chapter 5, 6, 7, 8. In fact, all of them, all John was basically teaching. Very little miracles. If you want miracles, go to Mark. John was basically teaching, and what he was explaining was the Father. The Father. I came not to do my will, but the will of he that sent me. It was basically the Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so you will also find that same thing in the Epistle of John. Amen. Where I said we should read. Let's go to the Epistle of John. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. Meaning this, I said this commandment is from the beginning, meaning is Alpha commandment. Is a commandment that this commandment is coming from somewhere. It's not coming from our domain. It's coming from somewhere. Now this commandment is light. You remember? This is the message that we have heard of him. That God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. So let's see something here. I love the way he was playing with it. The old commandment is what? I'm not hearing. The old commandment is what? The old commandment is the word. Now, I like that. It didn't say the words. The old commandment is the word. That is the commandment, is the word. Can you say the old commandment is what? The word which happened, which we heard from the beginning. Amen. Amen. Which we heard from the beginning. That which was from the beginning, which we have. I don't know whether you heard. This old commandment. Now, when you hear old commandment, it's not talking about commandments you've done, oh. Yeah, old commandment. I write to you no new commandment, but an old commandment. He's not talking about old commandment that you've done and passed. No. It's just referring to something that this commandment is ancient. You're not getting what I'm saying. Amen. 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 You've got to follow me. Old commandment is not saying that this is commandment that you have done, because that's the mindset we have. Okay, right now we have a new commandment. We finished the old commandment. No, it's not talking about what you have done and passed and discarded. Is that he called it old? He's talking about ancient commandment. It's an ancient commandment. How do we know it's an ancient commandment? It had been from the beginning. It's from this ancient commandment. Is a word. He called it a word which ye have heard from the beginning. Ancient commandment which you have heard from the beginning. Then he now said in chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Ancient commandment, old commandment. I write to you no new commandment. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Now check it together, put it together with chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. So what did they hear? Word. Is that, you see that word is, it didn't say word. Word. Then go back to chapter 1 so that you can see what I'm talking about. And our hands have handled of the word. Are you seeing it? The word of life. The word of life. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning, and he called it the word of life. And that this word of life, amen, this word of life is the word of everlasting life. This word of life is the word of everlasting life. Amen. Is the word of everlasting life. Can you say it's the word of everlasting life? Say it is the word of everlasting life. We've heard it, we held it. Can I say this? Will you be able to take it? I know it will end your theology. Amen. Amen. Is the word of everlasting life that will enable you lay hold on the word of eternal life. Somebody say, how do I know? It's there. Amen. This word will enable you lay hold on something. If you don't have this word, simply, if you don't have this commandment, eternal life is not sure. So what makes eternal life sure is this word. The commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. You need this to be able to get something. You don't have this word, you will not have. You won't be able to have eternal life. What are we saying here when you say you don't have this word? This word is the seed. That's the seed. That's the incorruptible seed. It's the incorruptible seed that will be able to see the true God. Give me verse 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's run through it, then we come down again to chapter 2 where we're looking at. He called it the word of life, then verse 2. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Kai. For the life was manifested, and we have seen the life and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. The way it was rendered here is a bit confusing. You know, the whole of Epistle of John is confusing. But let's trust God for understanding. For the life was, can you say the life was manifested? The life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. Was with the Father. Something is with the Father. This life was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Verse 3. Whoa. You will see it clearly. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. So, in other words, fellowship with the Father and the Son is not possible without you having incorruptible seed in you. You can have that fellowship. So it's not an ordinary fellowship. It's fellowship of those who have come into the inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that faded not away, reserved for us. Meaning they carry the incorruptible seed. You become a carrier of the incorruptible seed to be able to fellowship. So what you carry is what enables fellowship. What you carry is what enables fellowship. What do you carry? You carry word. You carry word. The word is the seed which you carry. You carry word to be able to come into fellowship. Amen. Back to verse 2. I'm just following verse 2. Back to verse 2 of chapter 1. I want us to see it very well. For the life, can you say the life? Say it again, the life. Say it again, the life. So there's a life that was manifested to us. That life bears witness. That life is meant for you to see. That life bears witness. That life will show you that eternal life. Did you get me? So, in other words, everlasting life is meant for to show you eternal life. Did you get what I just said now? Everlasting life is meant to show you what? Eternal life. That's the job of everlasting life. That's the job of the Father. So when you hear the Lord said, I am here as the Father. Meaning, I want to begin to teach you. First of all, I will give you incorruptible seed. That's the beginning. So that you can see the end. You know, I told you, I said, when you hear the beginning, the end. I am the beginning, the end. It's just referring to substances that it carries. The Father is both everlasting life and eternal life. His beginning is everlasting life. His end is eternal life. You need one to see the other. You don't have one, you can't see the other. It will be elusive to you. When they are describing it, you would. Right now we are describing everlasting life and it's looking like magic to many. The simple reason is you don't have, Christ is not dwelling in you. If Christ dwells in you richly, you will see it. You will just see it. If Christ dwells in you the way he ought to dwell in you, you will see it. You will see everlasting life. Amen. So did you understand it? So there's a life that bears witness to the other, that makes you see the other. That's the life that was manifested to us, so that that life will show unto you that everlasting, that eternal life which was with the Father. He's still with the Father, but you see, this is what I'm saying. When the Father comes, he won't give you eternal life first. When he comes, he won't give you eternal life first. What will he give to you? So he will manifest his first, or his beginning. Then he will manifest his beginning, and then that beginning is a commandment. That beginning is also a word. Amen. Amen. Meaning is, when you hear, can you say a word? Say the word. Word is seed. Seed is life. So he will manifest to you a word. Not words, a word. That word is seed of a life. Now, when he gives you that seed of a life, what he expects is that we should use it, hold it, keep it, walk in it, walk in the light of that seed. Walk, don't carry everlasting or incorruptible seed and use inferior light to live. That thing will remain seed the way it is. You don't get what I'm saying. Can I explain it again? If you are opportune to be given incorruptible seed, how many of you know that you're already gathering substances of incorruption? You know how I know? It shows in the way you think. It will show in the way you think. It will show in the way you live. It will show in many things you do. Your conversation. You're gathering it. You will gather it. It's one word, but it's many. You will gather the substances. Keep gathering the substances and keep gathering the substances until you've gathered it full as a seed. Then when you gather it, you keep it. Jesus taught all these things in the Gospel of John. You keep it. When you keep it, to keep it is to keep the commandment that guides it. If you do not keep the commandments that guide it, or I will want to put it this way, there's a light that incubates that seed to full gestation. If you don't use that light, if you don't espouse the seed to that light, the seed will remain the way it is, just a seed. So that's the reason for John's teaching, especially the epistles of John. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let's go to chapter 2 so that you can see. At least I've been able to show you something here. Let's go to chapter 2 where we are. Brethren, I write so you can now understand what is called old commandments. Can you say old commandments?
Old commandments.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we've taught it that old commandment is Christ's commandment.
Yes,
no, I also taught it. I taught it like that. But I'm seeing it's not what he was saying. It's not Christ's commandment. Because Christ's commandment is not old commandment. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's always new.
definitions. I'm going to give you new definitions. Mm. New definitions. Definitions of the Father. Definitions of the Father. Definitions from the gracious tongue of the Father. Bringing you definitions. Even definitions that are commandments. Even definitions that are even by the inspirations of the Father. Even definitions that are by the strength and the grace of the Father. I bring you definitions. Definitions. Again, definitions. Christ waters, even from the Father's waters. Definitions.
Yeah.
Definitions. Define even things of my Father to you. I'll define even things everlasting to you. I'll define even things of Christ and put them even in the place of Christ. And I'll define even things of the Father. And I would help you see them. I would show you their characteristics. I will show you their behavior. I will show you their seed type that you might be able even from now henceforth to begin to tell even things of Christ. And separate them even from the things of the Father, even the things of the Father, even the seed of the Father, even the seed of the Father, even the seed of the Father, the seed, see the seed, see the seed, see the seed, see the seed. I open your eyes to see the seed. Consider matters around the seed, even the wisdom wherewith the seed was concealed, wherewith the seed was placed. Even in scriptures, I breathe upon that seed. I breathe. See the seed of the. See the seed. See the seed. See my seed. See my seed as a father. See the father's seed.
Amen. So when you hear old, he's not talking about that which passeth away. Or that which was made that has lost its essence by reason of use. Like I said, he's not talking about something you have obeyed. It's an old commandment, but it's a commandment that was given to them. So I said the oldness, or why is referred to as old, is because of where it's coming from. It's not just old as in our own definition of old. It's referring to this is the ancient seed. This is the seed that has been from the beginning. This seed is God's seed. Everlasting life is a seed. Eternal life is not a seed. It's not a seed. It's everlasting life they will give to you as seed. Eternal life. When we saw it in Eden. Huh? Did you get what I just said now? When we saw it in Eden, did you see it as a seed? It wasn't a seed, it was a tree. So when they are going to manifest eternal life to you, they are going to be showing you tree. But when they want to show you everlasting life, they are going to be showing you seed. Incorruptible seed. They are seeds with God. There are seeds with God. There are seeds with God. When I say they are seeds, they are words with God. If the word spoken by angels, we are steadfast, is the seed of their life. Yes, sir. That's the law of their life. You know, Christ is also a seed. Yes, sir. Amen. Christ's life is also a seed. Kai. Christ's life is a seed. It's a seed. It's a seed that can be planted in a man. It can be, Christ can be planted in a man. Christ can be sown in a man as a seed. As you keep hearing, they can sow the seed called Christ inside you. So like I said something, I said Christ is not the old commandment. Christ is always new. He's always new. He's not old. If any man be in Christ, he has always been new. New spirit. He's a new spirit.
Yes, sir.
I will give you a new spirit. I will give you. Now, it doesn't mean that when you now begin to obey everlasting life, then Christ becomes old. No, he's still new.
Yeah.
He's still new. He never becomes old.
Yes, sir.
Even to you, he's still new.
That's the nature.
He's a nature. You can't change the nature. The nature does not retrogress. He's new. Just new. And will always be new.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Meaning you will always use Christ. You know, Christ is the foundation of God.
Yes.
They don't remove foundation. He said, this house is new, including the foundation. This is a new house. This is a fine house. You renovated it, including the foundation. That's what makes it the whole house. So you will always need Christ. Can you say, I will always need Christ? So you can't get to the place where you say, okay, we've done Christ, we are not doing with Christ, we finished Christ. That's the old commandment now. It's a new commandment they are giving to us. No. This old commandment is just referring to the anciency of the commandment. Telling you where it came from. It's from the beginning.
Amen.
It's from the beginning. Then he now, I love this. I love John, the way he plays with these things. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Then verse 8, quickly. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Amen. Hi. Sometimes the thing looks as if, okay, wants to disorganize again. We'll arrange it. Don't worry. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
He said again, a new commandment. I write not to you an old commandment. It's an old commandment. I mean, it's an ancient commandment. But right now, I write again a new commandment. I write unto you. And this new commandment is a thing. It's a thing which is true in him and in you. Amen. One of the lessons I've learned with John is that when you hear in you, in ye, in all of that, just don't be quick to include yourself. Because he might just be referring to some people. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I said amen. So, it's old and it's new. Can you say? How can something be old and at the same time be new? That's you call it paradox or you call it whatever. That's a prophetic reading. Is old and is new. Can you say he's old? But he's new. It's the same thing. He's old. But he's new. He's new. He's new. He's old. Meaning he's ancient. But is new. I want to perceive the reason why he said, I write unto you, or again, a new commandment. I want to believe that it is because of the light. I want you to see that. It's because of the light. Because darkness is past already. The true light. So the light is what is making you see it now. It's an old commandment. But it was, it looks as if it didn't appear. But now light that can make it manifest has come. So it looks new. But really, it's an old commandment. Meaning it dates before Christ.
Kept from the beginning, showing you what we kept from the beginning, showing you what we kept from the beginning. I'm showing you that which we kept from the beginning, that which we kept from the beginning, that which had kept from the beginning, that which He, the Godhead, kept from the beginning, that which we held together even before creation was brought forth. Kept from the beginning, which we kept from the beginning, which we kept from the beginning. I'm showing you. See that which we kept from the beginning. See that which we held even within our pouch, even from the beginning. That which you cannot see except we bring the true light, except we show even the light that can reveal it in all its essence, in all its circumference, in all its nature. For without the true light, it will be like this, it will be like that. It will be like that. It will be like this. And you will not be able to hold it. You will call it A today. You will call it D tomorrow. But when the true light is given, you would see that it's that which is old, which was from the beginning, but yet the same, which is new to you. But really, is that which we held, which we kept even from the beginning.
Can you say that which was from the beginning? Now, you need the beginning light to reveal that which was from the beginning. So, what either makes it old or makes it new is the degree of light. Meaning, there's a degree of light that will be shining. It will look, you will not be able to see it clearly. It will still be kept. It will still be ancient to you. But there's a light that reveals it. Now, when that light shines, that light, in that light, it's, you see, is new. I don't know how to put it. Light makes manifest. Light makes manifest. What will make you see things clearly is light. And can I say to you, light differs. In the school of light, light differs. You know, John was a burning and a shining light. Do you know he was a burning and a shining light? And you rejoice in his light for a season, so he had a light. And with his light, he tried all he could to see this. He tried everything he could to see this and to explain it to the people. They couldn't see it. The light he had was not enough to make them see it. Can I go further? You know, angels, they are light also.
Yes, sir.
They are light.
Yes, sir.
But why do they desire to look into this? Can I show you something that will amaze you? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do you know the things they gave to us, which we preach, they are glad to attend our meetings. I say with all sense of humility. I'm not saying it to... One of those days I was teaching, the Lord told me that when you gather in meeting, don't think that what I am revealing to you is what saints, some saints in heaven have already known. There are saints that have known it. Now many saints don't know it. No, oh, you think when you get to heaven, you suddenly know all things. You become omniscient. No, the level you know is what you will have. So when they tell you know him, don't think when you get there, you will suddenly know, wow. You understand all mystery and all. No, you won't. If you are dull in understanding, I'm sorry. The only thing is that you will not have flesh to struggle with. You will not have brain fog. And all the, you know, all those things you wrestle with. You will not have sleep. So they can sit you down and teach you a 1 hour expose on everlasting life. They can be a teaching for one age. Some of you still don't understand what I'm talking about, because I can see it on your face that you don't understand what I'm talking about. Yeah, they don't have time. They don't use time. They don't use our time. I have to finish right now in the next, because I'm mindful of you. But there, you are not going anywhere. Let me even ask here, where are we even going? That always makes us, we are looking at this. Where are we going? You say, I want to go and rest. There you will not be tired. You say, no, I want to go and eat. Eat. What you're hearing is you're eating. Oh, you don't know? You are still thinking of fruits. In heaven, that you're going to be chewing. Maybe after meeting, when we share grace, then we go and pluck fruits in the garden of life. And just be eating. Wow, have you... AK, have you tested this one? This is called precursor to everlasting life. It's in between Christ and everlasting life. You need to eat this. No, you will not be going to pluck fruits to eat. I know some people will argue with me and say, what are you saying? There are things. I know there are things to eat. Manna was the food of angels, right? They ate manna. Are you following what I'm saying? But let me ask you something. Do you think Adam actually was eating those fruits because he was hungry? Huh? Do you think he was eating them because he was hungry? No. Not. Well, of course, it was given to him for food. But really, you've heard over and over again that what sustains the body actually is the soul. Is the soul.
Yes, sir.
Life in the soul will sustain the body. What was Moses eating for 40 days and 40 nights when he was in God's presence? What was he eating? And he wasn't fasting.
He wasn't fasting. Yes, sir.
He didn't feel hungry.
Yes, sir. He wasn't fasting.
He wasn't fasting. I don't know whether you're... If you get there, you just discover that the way you feel hungry here is not like that. If at all you hunger and thirst, is you're hungry and thirst. So it means the way food is to us here is the way the knowledge of God is there to them. Did you understand what I said? The way food is to our body here is the way the knowledge of God is to them there. So they actually anticipate for meetings. They gather to meet all the time. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Can I say something to you? Like I was saying something. I said, the Lord told me, he said, what I am unveiling to you now, don't think all of the saints in heaven know it. No, not all of them. Some do know it. But even at that, there are still some things that needs to be unveiled. That is why sometimes when they want to unveil some things, they bring entities that have known it. When you hear John is here, it's not to make our meeting look spooky. No, he actually understands it. And he, no one holdeth with me in this thing. So he holds some understanding. And the Lord is meek, highly meek. Can't he teach it or can't he unveil it without them? No, he can. But he needs to bring them. Because they bear witness. They are witnesses. They are cloud of witnesses. Because if he's just teaching them, you'll be thinking, but by the time because there is something he has done. There's a work the Lord has done in them that they are witnesses. Them being there will aid understanding. Amen. As you're interpreting it, just to say this to just knock something in the mind of someone. If you have listened to Jesse Duplantis, I always make reference to it because what he was saying was very, very accurate. That thing was accurate. You know, he said he passed through the house of Paul and he was teaching some people. He was teaching saints. So they were holding meeting in the house of Paul. So it means we will not finish this thing here. Amen. Oh, I know some of us, we wish heaven at last. Pastor will not disturb me. There, Reverend will be resting. And I will be resting. No, there. You will still gather to be taught. The ones you didn't learn here. So you better learn. Because your learning is not just to feed your head. Your learning is to acquire life. There is no life without knowledge. Understand it. There is no life without knowledge. God ordained that through preaching, his life will be given. So life is still being given there. They are acquiring life. They are acquiring life. They have to journey on. Every one of the saints must journey. You see the way they are unveiling everlasting life. Everlasting life. They are also unveiling it there. Oh, you think you are the only one hearing everlasting life? Joke with your own meeting. They don't joke. There, the only challenge is that there they don't have to do it by faith. They have enough time, and then it's not by faith. But here, you're privileged. They actually compressed it into time. And I think they helped us. By the help of the Holy Spirit, you're able to break into it. I was teaching something yesterday. I told my wife, I said, this principle is just very easy. If we understand it, we'll not have issues. You know the principle? Here, agree. That's the belief. Agree. Don't even want to fully understand before you agree. Here, agree. Obey, you will become. That's all. Everything we are doing is just to achieve this. Here, agree. Is it a hearing? It takes warfare. Spirits fight hearing. It takes, if you know how many spirits that are here right now fighting so that you will not hear, blowing you sleep. To hear alone. And yet that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. You think it's just like that. If you know the warfare to hear that which is from the beginning, you know what that would do to a soul? That will remove the soul completely away from the domain of death, sin and death. To hear what is from the beginning. There is someone who is not from the beginning. He doesn't want something to come from that dimension. Because he's higher than what he can handle. Rather, he will fight that you don't hear it. He will use everything within his disposal to fight so that you can. Sometimes he will raise some arguments in your heart while you're hearing. He will raise arguments. Not just arguments. Sometimes he will just raise some flimsy concern. Sometimes even legitimate things. Flimsy. In the face of everlasting life teaching, everything is nonsense. Doesn't make sense. You wouldn't understand why they don't make sense because you're still in a place where those things seem to make sense. But by the time you come and you enter into another realm, you'll be asking yourself, is it this thing that was disturbing me from entering into life, from entering into eternal life, which they told the rich young ruler, sell? Because it's nonsense. That's why Jesus didn't sell him, to sell it and bring the money. He said, sell it, give it out. It's nonsense. I know some people will not like me for this. I want to say it again. In the face of the teaching of everlasting life, everything is nonsense. It does not make sense. Legitimate, illegitimate concerns. You will not say the reason why I didn't give attendance to hearing the things of everlasting life is because... Name it. Because I didn't have a child. Because I didn't have a husband. Because I didn't have a wife. Maybe because I didn't have a car. When they want to give you that which was from the beginning, you're mentioning things like that. It means you're not, well, it simply means you're not seeing what they are saying. So like I said, to even hear it, a lot of warfare. To agree. Can you say to agree? You don't know how much Satan is interested in your heart disposition. Your heart disposition is actually what is keeping him where he's staying. You know where he's staying? It's our heart disposition that is keeping him there. He's so much interested in heart disposition. You know why? Because everything you will do will spring out from the heart. So let the heart disposition not be right. He likes it. He will fight to maintain a kind of heart disposition. That is why when they come, they will give you a new heart. Yes, sir. Why do you think the subject of a new heart is so important? Which is the heart of Christ. Because somebody fights heart disposition. So they need to give you a new heart. If they don't give you a new heart, let me say this. There's a heart template for this thing. There's a heart template for this thing. If you don't have that kind of heart, this thing will annoy you. These things we are saying will annoy you. Am I saying the truth?
Yes, sir.
It will annoy you. You might not come back to church again. But they've given you a hard disposition. Just agree. It looks simple. But why haven't you agreed all this while? Warfare. Can I tell you what we do? We agree today. I don't agree again. If he has, he gets. Then they have to preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. Grace, 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 grace supply. You agree. Then the guy fights and fights and fights and fights and fights you to leave your stand where you agree. In the grace wherein you stand. Then you will, I know, agree again. Why don't you agree? There are reasons. If they are saying this thing, are they living it? If they are living it, why would this person do this, this person do this, this person do this, this person do this? I don't agree again. Then they have to start preaching. That's what we've been doing. That's what many of us do. So we agree, disagree, agree, disagree, agree, disagree, agree, until you come to the full assurance. To the acknowledgement of what? Full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of that mystery. It takes time to come to that point. When a soul comes to full assurance, comes to full assurance of understanding, what it does to that soul will just simply obey. There's also warfare in obeying. The season of obedience is a season of contradictions. That's warfare. His own level of warfare is contradictions. You know this is of God. You are fully assured this is God. And I'm obeying. But things are not aligning in my natural life. I thought, right now, things should have started showing up. Now, I come to understand that season of obedience is the time of fiery trials. Why is it fiery trial? You know, say this, don't count it No, as something strange. Don't think it's strange. Concerning the fiery trials. Those people we are obeying. That is why they need to be tried. So that's the moment. That's actually the time. All those other warfares have been preparing you for this last battle. The first one is First World War. The second one is Second World War. This one is Third World War. You didn't get what I just said now. AK, did you get me? I said the first one, which is to hear, is First World War. To agree is Second World War. To obey is nuclear war. Fairy trials. That is Third World War. After Third World War, you will become. And I've learned one lesson. In the days of Third World War, all that is required of you is, in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those fairy trials, can you just endure? Patience. Long suffering. You see that long suffering that we are teaching you concerning your brother? Suffer long with your brother. It's because of this warfare. If you couldn't suffer long with your brother, you're always packing. You won't, there you will pack. No, you not only spark, you will pack. When you face the fairy trial, you will pack. I'm not doing anything. You will, the way you've been sparking for your brother, and they are saying patient, they are trying to teach you patience, you will spark for God. People, they spark for God, though. You don't know? People, they spark for God. That's why God will not even bring some people to that point. Amen. Let me continue. Amen. So after is after the obedience, then the next thing is you become. Now I want you to place this principle that I've just taught right now at every point. It's applicable. In the season of Christ, it's applicable. In the season of everlasting life, it's applicable. Did you understand me? You need to hear. So everything you are seeing him talking about here, that which you have heard, he's not talking about Christ. So it's not the old commandment. It's not Christ. He's talking about something which was from the beginning. It was the season of the Father. They have heard. And they agreed. In that agreement, you are required to relinquish some things. You are required to relinquish some things. How will you relinquish some things? There are some things you're holding. It will only take some level of light. How do I put it? There are some things we hold in the season of Christ. Understand me. Don't fight it. There are things we hold in the season of Christ that we can still hold and do Christ. And Christ be formed in us. Now, why? Now, somebody is asking, are you saying that Christ's light is not enough to search out that thing? No. Things we hold have different strengths. You need to understand it. Things which our soul, when I say our things, man's things, have different strengths. They have different strengths. So you need different light intensity to see it. There are things that we hold that came as a habit was formed in our own days. It was formed as a habit in our own days. I'm teaching you something you need to see. They were formed as a habit in our own days. But there are things that are older than us that we hold. Those things are transgenerational. They are inheritance. They passed from generation to generation. In other words, they are everlasting in a nature. In a way, they are everlasting. So, you, no matter how much you make New Year resolution, you're trying to make New Year resolution on something that you are not aware of how it came. It just appeared. Meaning it had been passed. Probably that thing had, you know, and can I tell you something? When something passes from one generation to the other, it becomes stronger. Imitates. It begins to negatively perfect. Then it now shows up in your own generation. You need father light. Are you seeing the reason for the light of the beginning? You need father light, because that thing is a father. That thing is a father. You need the light of the father to see it. Probably somehow, even some things that, you know, you were able to see it in the days of Christ, and you sorrowed over it, you prayed over it, and then, you know, somehow grace was provided, but it was not completely expunged. The thing has strength. It didn't expire fully, but it has to actually expire. You need a kind of light, and it's the light of the Father. That's everlasting light of everlasting life. Those things are everlasting negatively. You need everlasting light. So that is what he was calling. Darkness is past already. The true light now shineth. Is a true light that would deal with the darkness. All of these things are darkness. They are habits that are wrong, are darkness. Even there are some habits that you don't think is wrong. It will take some light to show you that it's wrong. Amen. Let me go towards the direction of I'm teaching today. There are some where you have handled things, you know, you do obedience with light. The reason for light is for obedience. You do. There are some obedience that you've handled by reason of the light that was available. I begin to see it clearer now, because there are some things I want to handle the way I handled it some years ago, according to the level of judgment I had, and they would tell me no. We will not accept it. But I thought this is righteousness. They said, no. Here, you're to use another light. There's a light I'm expecting you to use here. That's what I was saying when I said, if you have the everlasting seed and you use another light to live, it will remain as a seed. So what they want us to do is to begin to use the light. Amen. To begin to use what? The light that is for that seed. Every seed has its own light. If you walk in light, it's 1 John, if you walk in light as is in light, you do what? You have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses you from all what? All sin. Amen. Amen. Are you following me? Did I make any sense today? Amen. Hallelujah. So the darkness, darkness which is past already, everything that is that darkness is anything, I'm trying to define it, darkness is anything that will not allow me see what is before me as clear as I ought to see it. What is before us? I'm not here. What is before us? What is before us? Some of you are not too sure. Can I hear you say it? So anything that will make me not see it is darkness. It's darkness. What will make me see it is what? Light. True light. True light or new light. Wow. Which is where new commandment. And again, a new commandment I write unto you. New light. Which thing is true in him and in you? Because of that seed, that light begins to come. So that light is coming so that you can use the light to live. Amen. Amen. Let me explain again what I'm talking about. You know the next thing he began to talk about. Give me that first. Yeah. The next verse. Verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and does what? So anything that will make me not see everlasting life is darkness. And that thing is actually a constitution of hate. Is a constitution of hate. It will show itself as hate, hatred. I don't know how to put it. It is one thing, but when it manifests itself as, just like God will is a life, is a thing, is his life. But when it shows, it will show as love. I don't know if you're with me. Is also that one is death, is darkness. When it will show, it will manifest itself as hatred. So that hatred is not just because he hated his brother, it's because his works. There's an occasion in him. There's an occasion in him. I didn't get me. Is as a result of occasion that is in him. Let's see it. He that loveth his brother abideth in light. And there is none occasion of stumbling. Is in him. So that occasion is in him. That occasion is that life. But what it will show itself as hatred. It will hate anything that is of light. Kai, this is interesting. It will hate anything that is of light. You will hate your brother. It will give you reason to hate your brother because he did something to you. It's not actually that reason. It doesn't want you to see. That reason is just for you to dwell in that darkness. Wow. That when he gives you that reason, it's so that you can dwell in that darkness. Wow. If you take away the reason, you'll find it easy to move out of darkness. And what takes away the reason is light. Because light will give you judgment. It's judgment that will say, oh, he didn't mean it. You come out of darkness. I don't know whether you understand me. It is light that will make you see. It's light that will give you judgment to appropriate matters well. The way you need to appropriate matters in the time of everlasting life is different. Is high judgment. They want you to judge highly. They want you to judge highly. So reasons that they give to you is basically to make you dwell in darkness. To dwell in darkness, amen. Are you listening to me? To dwell in darkness is to allow that occasion to remain in you. Occasion of stumbling. You will stumble. Why? Darkness is making you stumble. Darkness now shows itself as hating your brother, but is actually a thing, is an occasion, and it has a location, and is located in us. So it's a walk inside that will make us constantly we stumble, we fall. So, like I said, what they now begin to teach is when you're agreeing and obeying, the obedience basically is love. Love. Can you say love?
Love.
Can you say love?
Love.
Is love in milk, love in Christ, love in everlasting life is love. Is love throughout. Amen.
Amen.
Is love throughout. But when you really see love, as it's talking about the word which was from the beginning, is when they begin to unveil love to you with everlasting light. That is when you begin to see who God is really. That's when you begin to understand. I thought I had capacity to love. You can now understand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's high love, man.
Yes, sir.
That's high love. To those that hate him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God does nothing outside love. I said it last week. God does nothing outside love. Amen. You know, God hates things. There are some things God hates. Huh?
Yes,
it's in the scriptures. Somebody say, oh, no. Love does not hate. I said, that's not the love of God. The love of God hates things. Amen. The love of God hates things. But you see, that hatred he's hating is out of judgment. Judgment of a life. And that life. So when he expresses himself towards a thing as hatred, is actually love projection. Is love demonstrating itself. Love. Hates sin. Love does not hate sinners, but he hates sin.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
Did you understand me?
Yes, sir.
There is what is called sin. Men you find on earth are sinners, they are not yet sin. What you find on earth are sinners. It's difficult to make a soul arrive at being sin. When a soul arrives at being sin, it is out of love that God will deal with him. And that love is to send him away. You know why? Can I tell you why? It will be punishment for that entity to dwell in God's presence. Ah, it will be tormenting. For, you know, God, for that entity to dwell in his presence. You don't even know the things that transpired in heaven. You know, what they taught you was that there was war in heaven. Satan convinced some angels and they took up weapons to fight the throne of God. And then Michael fought them and defeated them and chased them out of heaven. No. He packed. He took his things. It was fellowship. Just the way it happens here on earth. People get offended. Nobody fought them. They just get offended and they pack. They just carry their things and go. So he took his things, but he didn't know. And you know why he didn't? He couldn't stay. That presence is tormenting him. It's punishment. So God will... So when you hear the Bible say God gave them up to vile affections, to do things that are not... So it means love was actually constraining them to see if they can change, to see if there's any way to remedy them. But if love releases you, so when love released them, immediately love released them, they were going bad. So the acceleration in darkness became faster. Death worked in them, worked in those angels faster when love, God is love. And his love is everywhere. His love, love always constrains. Love is stronger than death. Love will always canopy. His banner over us is love. It's to keep. But you see, when love, when something like that, when that's what I say, it takes time. I always say this. You don't know how long it took before iniquity was found in him. I don't think it's something that just happened immediately. I'm sure there would have been transactions. Trafficking. I'm sure, very sure, somebody like Michael would have confronted him. Talk to him. Stop thinking like this. Things like that must have transpired. God is merciful, Lord. When you see God take a decision. So I'm sure things like that would have transpired, but he kept trafficking until he finished the cup of iniquity. When he fulfilled it, don't... You know, these things, when we say these things, you are thinking, oh, it's Lucifer. A man can finish that cup. And these days, you are going to be seeing men finishing the cup of iniquity, filling it very easily. It's going to be happening in this, in the times, because you're going to see iniquity will abound and men will learn iniquity. So when he got filled, he was the one that left. Amen. Amen. That was why in the days of Job, when he came around, did it look like they were fighting? If they were fighting, if it was war, he wouldn't have come like that. They would have barred him from coming. But he came. The only person that makes him not to come again is our Lord Jesus. You know why? When he sees our Lord Jesus, oh, thank God for Jesus. Can you say thank God for Jesus? When you know why he can't stand Jesus? Somebody say the power of Jesus. Yes, I know. The power of Jesus, the authority of Jesus. You know, when he sees Jesus, what he's seeing is a man. He's seeing a man that dealt with him. He's not seeing God. He's seeing a man. And heaven will bear witness is a man that dealt with you. He's a man. He's a man that dealt with you. This man, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, has God made both Lord and Christ. He finished you, meaning all the things you hold in esteem and things you hold in high value, things that you thought were your strength, he resolved it in himself. In him, he took your things and then demolished them. For this reason, the Son of God was manifested. You see, that Son of God that was manifested, it wasn't externally dealing with things. He was dealing with things internally. He was dealing with things. He was dealing with things. He was being tempted. He was dealing. Those temptations are not ordinary. Those temptations are things that we are coming. He was trapping them, dealing with them. Trap them, deal with them. Trap it, deal with them. Finish the one that Adam could not do. Finished it. Entered, took the one that was in the law of Moses. Fulfilled it by the Spirit. Dealt with it. All of it. Finished everything. Came into the things of the Father, dealt with things that are after that proportion in darkness, in Satan. He dealt with things that are after the proportion of Father, because Satan is also a father of lies. So he dealt with lies. He took those things, he swallowed them up in victory. Can a man take the things of the enemy and still be okay? And still love God and obey God? Little temptation will spark. If God, if you don't do this, why have I been so long like this? I've been so long like this, and I've been following you. You don't know anything. Somebody swallowed it all, and it was still okay. And he still loved God. He did not disobey. You don't understand the things that happened with Jesus. Righteous man. Obeyed till the end. And in the end, the commandment was that you're going to be an offering to sin. It looked like you're paying me for all my following you. You're paying me with evil. But he could trust God. He did something Satan couldn't do. Satan can't trust God. He hates what I'm saying, but I'm saying it under Jesus. He couldn't trust God. Jesus trusted God that even if he slay me, yet I will still worship him. All those things you see Job saying, he was just retorting the things of Christ. You know, David also said those things he was saying, they were saying it by the Spirit. Those things we are words of Christ. Even if he slay me, yet I will still serve him. I will still love him. It was a war of love.
Things of my gene. I'm declaring things of my gene. Even things that will make men like me. Things that will birth men like me. Things that will raise everlasting men like me. Even men who are going to trust God. Even men who are going to believe God. Even men who are going to walk even according to the invisibility of things everlasting. I am giving those things. I am showing those things. I want to raise even my generation. I'm declaring things of my generation. Even things of the Father's gene. Things of the life of the Father. Things that will make sons of the Father. Even I, sons of the Father. Yea, Isaiah said, earth who shall declare his generation. But I am declaring even the words of my generation, even the gene of my generation, even the seed of my generation, even the seed that will make men like me, that will turn men to me, that will make men have even the strength that I had, even to believe the Father, even to trust the Father, even to walk with the Father, even when they lose all things, they will yet trust. For the incorruptible seed is the seed of trust. The incorruptible seed is the seed of trust. It is the seed of trust. And my Father put it in me, and I want to put it in a people who trust my Father from the beginning till the end. Ooh.
Kai.
Put trust. Seed of trust. It's the seed of trust. Holds the name of the Father. It's the seed of trust. It's the seed of trust. With the seed of trust, the seed of trust, with the seed of trust, brought my seed of trust. Father, trust the Father without a seed of trust. You cannot trust the Father without the seed of trust. Even the incorruptible seed, I'm here with that seed. The seed of trust, name of the Father, the seed of that name, seed, put it, I want to put it, I want to put it, I want to declare it, and put it, I want to put it, I want to declare it, I want to commit it, I want to commit it, I want to commit it, even those who would go all the way with the Father, even those who go all the way with the Father, even those who disobey, even the fallen Father, even those who make a mess, even of the fallen Father, even the Father of lies, even the Father of lies, even the Father that has deceived all nations. I am putting my trust. I am bringing that seed of trust to put even in a people, even in a generation, even the gene of trust in that generation that would defy, disobey, that would disregard, that would disrespect, that would not yield even to that fallen Father, even that fallen priest, even that fallen priest. I'm here with that seed. I'm a carrier of that seed. I have that seed in my pouch. I hold the seed of trust. My Father put it in me, and I have been sent and commissioned even to give that seed of trust.
Amen. I just remember that song that Misty sang. It said, one of it, the lyrics, it said, he doesn't have any thought against God. And I come to think, it means he fought thoughts. Thoughts could have come to him against God. But he refused it. He refused to take any thought against God in the midst of what he was meant to obey. He could trust. So I now remember the Hebrews. He said, I will put my trust in him. Can you give me that place? Hebrews chapter 2. Give me verse 11. For both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are one. Now these ones are sanctified brethren. These sanctified brethren are sanctuary brethren. Amen. Amen. Sanctified brethren are sanctuary brethren. Amen. Amen. But he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are one, for which cause he is not ashamed to be called brethren. Because he's in this, amidst these brethren, the next verse 12, saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren. Your name unto my brethren is the Father's name. I will declare your name unto my brethren in the midst of this church. This church. Now he's not generalizing all the church. It's a church. This is the church referred to in Hebrews as church of the firstborn. In the midst of this church, I will sing praise. Now this praise cannot be sung without the name declared. What will make them sing a kind of praise they are singing here is because they've known the name. Let me put it this way. They've known him who is from the beginning. So they can sing praise accordingly. Praise is that which, what you call praise, is not just song. Of course, you know that. I don't need to go there. It's not just song that we are singing. It's a life that we are showing forth. The life that we are showing forth was a life of praise. A life of praise. That they sang with their life. They sang with their life. And they were singing with a life because a name has been revealed to them. That name being revealed to them is how he puts his trust in. Look at it. And again, I will put my trust in him. Now, what you're thinking is, he's talking about, I will put my trust in God. No, God is saying, I will put my trust in him. That's what that prophecy is referring to. If God puts everlasting life, incorruptible seed in a man, you will trust God. You think you trust God? Do you think you trust God? Do you trust God? Some of you are not, you're wondering. Right now, I don't know what they are talking about now. None of us, amen, none of us has capacity to trust God. God. None of us. I'm not talking about trust that you can generate. Your trust that you can generate. Even your faith. Haven't you? I have faith in God's word. I have faith in God's word. I believe. I know whom I believe. And things shake up a little bit. And your faith fail you. You know, remember Peter? Peter was saying, no, Lord. If everybody deserts you. You see me so? The reason why I won't even leave you is because I've got no sheep. I've got no fishing business again. You are the only way forward. So I can't even desert you. To desert you is to lose totally. So I even have reason. You think you have reason to follow God? You think you have reason to? No, you don't know what God has been so good to me. God has helped me. He healed me of a terminal disease. Calm down. Thank God for that. But can I tell you something? You don't have capacity to trust him. Those things that are done, he knows that they are not enough for you to trust God. It's a whole sermon that just opened up. But in a nutshell, what will make us trust God is that he's going to put his trust in us. His trust is the incorruptible seed, which is the seed of everlasting life. Any man who has that seed, one attribute of that seed is that you will not have any thoughts against God. Thoughts will come, you will discern it. Because that seed has its judgment. You won't have any thought against God. You know, right now when we say have any thought against God, you're saying, I don't have anything against God. God knows, and I know, I don't have anything against God. They've not tempted you. You've not gone to Gethsemane. You've not been tempted to that point. Thoughts will come. And in the midst of that thought, you are required to trust God. It's only everlasting seed that is a guarantee that you will trust him. So God does not trust your trust. God only trusts his trust that he has put in you. So he will do everything to make sure that he puts his trust. That's why I said, and again, I will put my trust in him. And when I put my trust in him, he will declare the same to his brethren. And in declaring the same to his brethren, he will also put my trust in them. And then they can sing praise to me. Meaning in the midst of it, you will be singing praise. And people will be wondering, why are you still following God? You remember what they told Job, the wife of Job? Why are you still following God? Those are everlasting seasons, everlasting discussion. When you read Job, don't read Job. Job, the book of Job, that's why I used to say, I don't know how those men that are saying, acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace, will be called miserable comforter. Those things are not. So it means in the school of everlasting life, those men are still, they still have darkness. They still have dark judgments. But what they brought forth was scriptures. But they still have dark judgment. So it means the light that we are using in the book of Job was high. And that's why many people don't go there. Church don't like going there. Many preachers don't preach the book of Job. Because the light in Job is high. It was everlasting light that they actually used in Job. That book of Job, it was season of everlasting life. And the wife of Job told Job, why are you still following him? It was Satan that spoke through her. She didn't know what she was saying. It was Satan, the adversary, has bombarded all him all around and then saw that the guy was still steadfast. Then he came, spoke through the wife. Curse God. Meaning, relinquish everything. Amen. I just remembered Pastor A.Y.'s message, which mommy has been preaching. Bless them that curse you. That's the nature of God. Now, you look like he cursed Job, right? But Job blessed God. When they say bless those that curse you, they are just, it's just dress rehearsal. Because it will get, as you're walking, it will get to look like, don't you, when you look at, if you've had opportunity to read church history, the things that happened to the saints, the way they, it will almost, people called them that they were cursed. Because it seemed so to human judgment. But they were the happiest people on earth. Not happy because they were rejoicing all the time. No, but before God they found favor. Happy are ye. Happy are ye. But Job did not curse God. Look at the judgment. You know, in the days of milk, we'll say that confession was not right. God has given, God has taken. Glory to his name. His trust. Trust. That word came out of trust. God has given, God has taken. But we give glory to his name. Milk boy said, no, God doesn't take. He said, you don't understand. It's a different level. They sometimes they'll take some things from you because what they want to give you, God. Let me not go further. But how many of us are blessed today? So the season of everlasting life, which is the season of the Father, in a nutshell, what God is saying to us, use that light. Begin to use the light. Begin to practice how to use that light. That light has, what is the light? The light is knowledge. If it is knowledge, it has understanding. That understanding is the judgment. That judgment, if you don't use that judgment to live, the seed will still remain just a seed. But for the seed to flourish, you have to walk in light as he is in light. Amen. What did I say? You have to do what? Walk in light as he is in light. How is he in light? Light of everlasting life. That's how he is in light with us right now. So walk in that light. Amen. As you walk in that light, you will not have occasion to stumble. You will see the reason to love your brother. You see the reason to love your brother fervently. Right now we are not seeing the reason, but if you walk in this light, you will see the reason why you have to love your brother fervently. I hope you know that this love your brother fervently is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Love one another fervently. Amen. We give God praise.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you. Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for the